Good morning. I'm guessing that Sunday helped the attendance because Wes isn't up here, and I appreciate Wes booking this for this Sunday, so we have at least somebody here to listen. So I'm going to first just start off to give you a little bit of an explanation on how I'm going to teach this morning, and I'm going to use an analogy of chocolate milk. For all you lactose intolerant people, I apologize for using this, but so I could be teaching on chocolate milk. I'm not going to be teaching on chocolate milk. This is an analogy, okay? I could be teaching on chocolate milk, and I could spend a whole week teaching on milk. I'd go to all you farmers. I'm not going to pick on you, Larry. I could go to all you farmers and find out how the milk. I'm not a farmer, so how milk happens and all that kind of stuff, and we'd get an in-depth study on milk for a week, and then the next week I would do it on chocolate. I would go to John Wingfield, who's the chocoholic of the congregation. I would go to John and I would learn all about chocolate, and we would study chocolate for a whole week, and then the last week I would do a whole study on stirring. Because nothing worse than chocolate milk, and you finish the glass of chocolate milk and it's all at the bottom of the thing, right? I could do a fourth week, but it has nothing to do with what I'm speaking about, and that's for all the Dutch people in the congregation, because I'm Dutch, so I'm not picking on anybody in particular. When it's on sale for 99 cents at Giant Tiger, that would be a whole other study, you know what I mean? Because that makes it taste even better, okay? But I'm gonna teach on chocolate milk all in one shot. And there's a purpose for that, because I want you to understand the wonderful taste of chocolate milk, okay? So as I'm speaking, if you're like me, when Wes is teaching, he'll teach something and then I'll say, oh, Wes, you could go here in my head. I'm saying that. And I'm saying, you could go here. You could go more in depth. And so I want you not to do that. I want you to just to listen to what I'm going to speak on, because in the end, I want you to enjoy the fullness of the chocolate milk. Again, I'm not speaking on chocolate milk, but I want you to understand the analogy so I don't lose you partway through, okay? So in the late 70s, early 80s, I had a job and I worked for a moving company, and my job was to move Jewish people back to Israel. And when I would go to their homes, on the front door of all their homes, I would say, the majority of their homes, there was a little ornamental thing that was on the front door, and inside of it was a little piece of paper, and it was called a mezuzah, and it was a declaration that they made about their God, that their God was the only God, and that they were going to serve this God, their only God, with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And so I want to speak about that today. It comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as the frontlets, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes." And here's what they would do. "You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So the doorpost of our house is us. We're in the new covenant, and the doorpost, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." So this declaration that the children of Israel put on their doorposts is a teacher to us today in the new covenant. And so we need to understand, the Old Testament is not there not to be read. Wes says this often. The Old Testament is there to be read. There's so many people that have avoided the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a teacher to us today. And so what is the teaching that we can learn from that declaration that the children of Israel did? So I'm going to use an acronym, again, I'm just following Wes. Wes is such a good teacher, so I'm gonna follow Wes using an acronym. It's gonna be just three letters because I can't remember the five-letter acronyms because it's too long and I can't remember them. So it's just a three-letter acronym, and it's WWW. And so in the internet, the World Wide Web, it's an entrance to so many things. And so that's why I used it, so I could remember for myself what I'm speaking about. If my notes blew away, I could probably still handle myself up here. So I'm going through three W's here of how we make a declaration in our life. The declaration that the children of Israel made on the doorpost of their house. How do we make that declaration in our life? And the first is the will of the Father. Probably one of the most common questions that I get asked when people just want a thought process given to them is, how can I figure out my purpose? How can I figure out what God wants for me? What's the will of God for me? And I want you to understand that fathers, the will of our Father towards us is He loves us so much. And we're in a world, and I mean, it's such a blessing to be in a church where we have parents that bring their children to the front to bless them and allow their lives to be an influence to their children, but allow us as a whole congregation to help in that influence. Because there's such a shortage of fathers in the world today. And so our Heavenly Father, it gets misconstrued by so many people right now on what the Father's love is for us. I was raised by a great dad, and my wife and me had the privilege to have my parents live with us for 30 years. And we also had the privilege that we never had to deal with financial affairs. There was no money exchanged, and my parents' contribution to the household was that they cut the grass and they did the gardens. So you should be good, Rick, if you have to live with your kids. You could probably do that kind of a deal because those gardens were perfect yesterday. So when we would come home from work, we'd come in the driveway, and my dad would be there on the front porch, and he would say, "Come on over here." And he would walk me to one of the gardens that they'd spent the whole day on, weeding it and making it look perfect and everything. And he'd say, "Isn't it beautiful?" And then another day he would walk me to the back porch and he would look at the back field and he'd cut it all. He wouldn't lay any clippings on the field. He'd drive with the tractor with the wagon behind so he could rake the clippings up as he was doing it and make perfectly straight lines in the grass. No extra tire marks, like Rick told me a story. But anyways, no extra tire marks, and he did it all perfectly. And he said, "Look at that." And he said to me, "I just want you to come home and enjoy the beauty of your home." What a great story of the love of a father. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He just wants you to enjoy the beauty of what He created for you. And we need to come to the realization, if you've got the worst father in the world, I'll let you adopt the story of my father if you like. But more importantly, adopt the love of your Heavenly Father. Because we're living in a world where that's not as common as we might think it should be. And so we, first of all, to make a declaration on the doorpost of our life, we need to understand the love of our Father. Now, I'm using Deuteronomy 6 as my teacher, so let's go back to Deuteronomy 6, and it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." The heart of our Father is that He loves us so much. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and hope." He wants you to have hope. He wants you to have a future. His heart for you is that He loves you so much. He's not a condemning God. He loves you so much. And we need to understand that principle right off the bat before we can make a declaration over this household that he is the God we love. We need to understand his heart for our heart to be able to love him. It says, the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And I can't emphasize enough that you can't even go on in what I'm speaking here at all unless you understand the love of your Father for you. He isn't out there to beat you. I had somebody say to me, a wonderful Christian person said to me a few weeks back, said, life is going so good, something's got to go wrong. And as much as we don't want to verse that very often, how do we think it sometimes? Or we'll say, you know what, everything goes wrong with me all the time. This is just what I'm destined to. Well, I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father loves you so much. He has a great, amazing plan for you. And you need to come to that for you to love him with all your heart. You need to know his heart. We were created in his image. If we were created in his image, we have the heart that he has, but we need to accept that heart that he has. For us to understand this, the need for us to understand this is so important because what he did with that love is the second W, what I want to talk about. The most common scripture that anybody ever memorizes. If you want to impress Wes, you use this scripture because you'll probably get it right, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now you're saying son doesn't match the W. I'll get to that. But the fact is he loved us so much that he gave his only son. And unless we understand his love, we can't go on to the next stage of this. We need to understand that he loves us so much and that he loved us that much that he allowed his son to come here to earth, not for an easy life, for a hard, hard life to die for us, to redeem us back to his love. It says in the scripture that Jesus is the Word. And in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is the Son of God. It's the second W. He's given us the Word. If we're going to make a proclamation on the door front of our life, we need the Word. It's one of the biggest reasons I came here to Sweets was because I loved the emphasis on the Word. You don't know how spoiled a church we are here that we get as the leadership of this church. They emphasize the Word, the Word. They don't only just tell you to read the Word, they walk alongside you as you read the Word. That's an amazing gift. But what is the Word for? Understand what the Word is. In Revelations 19, verse 13, it says, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The Word was dipped in blood. It was the cross. It was a death to self. The Word of God is about death to self. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. So he's calling us to a process where our soulish realm, this selfish realm that we carry, gets cut apart. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God, this word that Jesus is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and discerning of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I don't even understand my own self. And the word comes in. As I study the word, there's things that happen. Even as I was studying this, I'm sitting there this past week and I'm saying, God, I don't even accept some of these things myself. And he said, just bring it to me. Bring it to me. And I can cut away that selfish, soulish realm that you hang on to. Understand that it says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. The word of God is there to cut through our soulish realm. I want to make a declaration on the doorpost of my house that says, I love the Lord my God with all my heart because I know the heart of my Father is a heart of love. And I want to love the Lord God with all my soul because I know that my soulish realm can get in the way of the love of my Father. Now, the next W is the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got raised in a pretty radical time. But some of you have lived through those radical times of the 70s and early 80s, and it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there were some things that were absolutely amazing. There were some things that maybe went off the rails a little bit. But the working of the Holy Spirit is an emboldening of the Word and nothing different. It is the emboldening of the Word. In Acts 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What happened in the 70s, there were people that went off the rails and they disconnected the Holy Spirit from the word. Now, there was also many people that connected the word with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say there wasn't. And I had parents that kept, like, were so wise in keeping me connected to the word. And my dad would come to me when I was 10 years old and say, John, something's wrong. I'm just going to guess, he says, that you weren't in the word today. Like, what parent in their right mind asks their 10-year-old kid if you were studying the word that day? But he kept me in the word. And then what ends up happening is the emboldening of the Holy Spirit is solid as a rock. It's solid, it's firm, it's sure, and it does not waver. A lot of times churches want to disconnect a bit from the talk of the Holy Spirit because people have lived through some unique times and they're bad memories. And so they disconnect from it. But we don't want to disconnect from it because it is part of what God gave us as a power in the church. It says in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. My is Jesus. And Jesus is the word. It's connected again. It's connected. And understand that the other part that's connected, if we use the word, if I took this book and I, without the love of the Father, use this book, I could beat the living daylights out of you. I know this book fairly well, and I could take it and make you feel like a piece of dirt. But God says, you first need to understand my love for you. And my love encompasses the death of my Son on the cross, the Word. And if you understand my love, when you present this Word, it'll come with love. Then also, I've given you the Holy Spirit to embolden that Word. Not detached from that Word, but to embolden that Word. So it says, you shall love the Lord your God, back in Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. The heart of our Father is love. He loves you so much. With all your soul, he gave us the word to cut through our soulish realm. And with all your might, the power of the Holy Spirit. He taught us that to people thousands of years prior. I have a family member right now that's struggling and wants nothing to do with Christianity. And I said to Arta the other day as we went on our walk, I says, I can't believe somebody can't love this book. It is so incredibly perfectly put together. How you can't believe it. It just let him teach it to you. It is so amazing. So we set this proclamation on our doorpost. And what's the purpose of it? In Acts 2, verses 5 to 8, it says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together. They were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, and they were amazed, astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? As we allow the love of God, our Father, to become part of our heart, as we allow the word to cut through our soulish realm, and as we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to embolden that word that's part of our life, we will be given the power to speak the language to the people of the world. Now, what ends up happening when we speak that language? They don't always say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Okay, we'll accept the Lord. Right away, the first thing they did, they must be drunk. Y'all must be drunk. And Peter stood up in the power of the Holy Spirit because he knew the word of God and had had his life. If anybody had had his life cut apart a bit, we all know Peter. You may not have liked him if he was part of this church. He's proud, arrogant, did some bad things by denying Jesus. All those things, but he had his heart. His heart was cut. His soulish realm was cut so that he could be prepared so that the power of the Holy Spirit could do a working in him. And he tells the people, he says, you know what? I'm going to read you scripture. He went back to the word. He emboldened the people with the word of God. He went back to the word. And what happened? It's an interesting thing in Acts chapter 2. You go look at it when you get home. It says, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. The heart of our Father is love. They were cut to the point of seeing the love of our Heavenly Father. And all they could say is, what do we need to do? Because the power of God worked through them. They had made a proclamation on the doorpost of their life, and the power of God worked through them. And what ended up happening? 3,000 people that day gave their hearts to the Lord. I don't want to separate the power of God. I want to keep it as a proclamation as it was done in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm not asking you to get crazy glue and stick a mezuzah on your forehead. I'm asking you to say, this is a picture of what's inside of us. And I'm asking you to join them together. Don't separate them. Don't be super scholarly in the word without understanding the love of your Father. Don't go roaming around without the word in you prophesying. There's people in the day that came to Jesus and said, Jesus said about people that they would prophesy and do all these casting out demons and all these things. But he says, I don't know you. Because they separated themselves from him, the word. And I'm not saying that we can't prophesy. I am saying there is still a place for prophecy. There is still a place for healing. There is still a place for visions in the church. But it needs to be in its right order. Because when that happens, the power of the Holy Spirit will be emboldening the word of God and will change people's lives, and it'll cut to their heart. They will see the love of the Father. Don't walk away from the Holy Spirit just because you had a bad experience when you were a kid. Understand that it is still today. The Holy Spirit is still doing a work today, but it does not work apart from the word of God and not apart from the love of the Father. That's where we got these weirdo things. They separated them. But it does not mean we walk away from that. Interesting thing, going back to my chocolate milk theory here. You can tell I'm getting near the end because I'm coming back to my chocolate milk. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, before it says, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, it says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We need to come to that place when we make a proclamation of our Heavenly Father and the love that He showed us with His Son and the power that He emboldened us with His Holy Spirit is that He is one. We can't separate these factors. They are together. They are one. And it is the power of our one God that we can stand firm and make a proclamation with our life to the world around us. And I know that when we make that proclamation based on this truth, people will come to know Him because they will be cut to their heart by the love of the Father. It's what happened in Acts chapter 2. We try to push sometimes to do things. And what did they have to do in Acts chapter 2? Jesus said, go and wait. Go and wait. God wants to do a work in you. Allow the love. If you've got a discontorted view on His love, understand He loves you so much. He's not out to zap you. He's not this big white-haired guy on a throne that's just out, oh, Peter did a mistake. Zap, you're gone. He doesn't do that. He loves Peter even. I was talking about Peter, the disciple, but I was pointing at you. Sorry, Peter. I don't know. he loves us so much, and He wants to do a work in you. He's standing, knocking at your door and asking for the proclamation of your faith as He did with the children of Israel. In Revelations 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. He's standing at your door right now. Are you willing to make the declaration of Him, our one God, and love Him with all your heart, understand His love, is the heart of the Father, with all your soul, allow Him to cut away that soulish realm in yourself, and with all your might, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit working, emboldening the word of God. Are you willing to do that? Because I'm telling you, thousands will come to know Him. I believe that. I still believe that today. It's not just a 2,000 year ago thing. It is today too. And we here as a church are standing on a foundation that's so healthy, encouraging you to stay in the Word of God and having the leadership of the church walk beside you as you stay in the Word of God. You can't ask for anything more. And because of that, I don't know if any of you notice, there's a lot of love in this place. And I'm talking about Heavenly Father style love. I'm not talking about the 70s love. I'm talking about Heavenly Father love in this place. So now the power of the Holy Spirit just has to work and embolden that. Let's close in prayer.